Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
We have a treat for you today. How many of you like Mother's Day treats? I do. I enjoy Mother's Day. Somebody said, well, you just get a day off. I never get a day off. Try being a pastor sometime. 24/7. I'm not bored about it. I'm active about it. I appreciate what God's doing in this house, don't you? But we have some wonderful speakers today. We have Rachel Suttle. She is here. She's going to start us out. Not yet. Dwayne Logan is going to be speaking today. And Miss Jana Jones. Is everybody here? You know, then I will have to work. Okay, so are you ready to hear these wonderful people talk to you about Mother's Day and talk to you about how good God is? Give God praise and thank them. Come on up.
Morning. I hope everybody is doing good today. I'm honored to be up here speaking to y'all this morning. And just to be transparent, when Pastor Terry called me and asked me, I said yes, but I hung up the phone and I felt like I was going to throw up. So y'all just pray for me because I'm very nervous. For those that don't know me, my name is Rachel Suttle. I am Brandon's wife. And whenever we got married, he had a daughter, and I've gotten to be a stepmom. She's 17 years old now. And then I have two children, Judah and Maisie. They are 10 and 9. But thinking about my journey in motherhood, I have always wanted to be a mom from the time I was a little girl. If you would have asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, it was I wanted to be a mama. And I attribute that to the fact that I have the best mama. She is gentle. She's kind. She serves with her whole heart. She's mission-minded. She's the most thoughtful person that I know. She's faithful in everything. She's taught me how to be a good mother. She's taught me how to be a good wife, and she's taught me lately how to be a good daughter. As I've watched her care for her aging mother, making really hard decisions and doing really hard things. She's also taught me that you never stop growing in the Lord and you never stop leaning into what he's doing in your life. And so I thank you, Mama, for the gift that is you, and to our whole family, you are a gift to all of us. God also placed in my life my wonderful mother-in-law, Pat. Y'all know her and love her. I'm so grateful for you. She is loving. She is joyful. She is faithful. She is giving, and she is wise. She's very encouraging to me. The only time I've ever felt judged is when my kids were in the creek in February, and she says, Mama didn't let us go barefoot till May. She has stopped saying that because she knows that I don't listen. So I thank you, Pat. You are a treasure to our family. I remember early on when my kids were really small, we were in the backyard swinging one day, and my daughter Maisie, she was tiny, and she said, who did you used to be? And I said, what? She was wanting to know what my name was. She was little. And that, when I think back, has really summed up the early years in motherhood. I took that on as my full identity. everything else went to the back burner. And I love being a mom, and I love my children, but that's not my identity. And I think when we set ourselves up with an identity that is anything other than what God says, we're set up to fail. So on May 19th of 2023, my daughter Alora was stillborn. I was 36 weeks along. We were ready to have a baby. Everything was ready. And it was estimated that her heart probably stopped beating on Mother's Day of that year. So if y'all are having a hard day, I am too. That event sent me into an identity crisis. Along with all the grief that I felt a lot of guilt. I felt a lot of shame. My pregnancy was unplanned and very unexpected, and I was anxious for the most of the pregnancy. I was not that joyful mother expecting a new baby. Yes, I was thankful. Yes, I longed to have her in my arms, and I loved her, but I was not grateful in the way that I should have been. After she died, I wrestled with God a lot. I was very angry. We sang the blessing this morning, and I remember the Sunday after I delivered her, I was watching on the live stream at home, and I was sitting out on the porch, and y'all played the blessing that day, and I threw my phone out in the field. I was just so mad. And I've wrestled with that anger and just the rejection that I felt because of that. I felt like I had been a great mother before that, and I was angry that my body wasn't able to do the one thing that I felt like I was created to do. Because of this identity crisis, God placed me here, I think, in this place for a reason, because he knew I needed all the mothering that I could get. So actually, when I found out that I was pregnant, I was doing a class that Miss Henry Ann led about spiritual mothering. And she became a spiritual mother to me. Just her smile will light up a room. She's so joyful, which is something that I don't think I generally am a joyful person, but I wish to look like my mama, Henry Ann. She grieved with me like Alora was her own grandchild. And I'd had a miscarriage before I had Judah and Maisie, and that was the most lonely experience of my life. But she let me know that I wasn't alone, that there was a body of people here that were grieving with me, and she specifically was just so tender and so loving and just so what I needed at that time. Miss Brenda Howell, I think on more than one occasion, called me at night when she knew that I was being tormented. She tucked me in with her prayers, and just so much peace flooded my mind because of that. At a certain time when I felt just really rejected, I felt like God hated me. I had never really talked to Vicki Logan that much, but she came up to me one Sunday at church and she hugged me, and I could feel the love of God going down deep into my soul. I didn't feel like he hated me anymore because of Vicki's love, because of the love of the Father that's in you, Vicki, and I thank you. And most recently, Faye Mitchell, I hate she's not here, but she has discipled me personally. You know, the Word of God tells us to wash with the Word, and that's exactly what she did. She washed me with the Word of God and reminded me who I am. God has used these women in a mighty way, and if today is hard for you, it's okay. There are many of you here that want to be mothers and never got to be. There are many here who are missing your children, whose children are in heaven like mine. There are many of you here who are have a broken relationship with your children. And there are many here who are missing your mamas. But we're so blessed in this house. We have so many women that can help fill that void and help feed you spiritually. So if there are women like me who need to be a daughter at the time, there are women who are real Titus II women who will lead us and encourage us to become like them. So in the fall of 2025, I grieved, and I was in this dark place for over 2 years. And God brought his word to me that just really set me free. He literally took me from the pit and set me on the rock. That is Jesus Christ. And now I can say I am a mother, and I still love being a mother, but that's not who I am. I am the daughter of the Most High. I am loved. I am strong. I'm able to do hard things. I'm blessed. I'm victorious. I'm safe. I'm forgiven. I'm accepted. I'm equipped. I'm protected. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. I'm delivered. I am God's handiwork. I'm part of God's family. I'm comforted. I'm made new. I'm never alone. I'm seen. I'm heard. I'm redeemed. I'm renewed. I'm approved. I'm healed. I'm holy. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm chosen. I'm sanctified. And I'm set free. Thank you. And I just have one more thing. Early on, whenever, you know, I've always leaned into the Lord and what he's doing in my life. And in reading my Bible, my kids were pretty young. I was in the book of Judges, and Judges 2:10, all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. That's a scary verse to me, because you see it happening. You see God being a little less important to the next generation, and it's a slow drift away from what really matters. And I decided then that I didn't want that to be my children's story. I want them to know what God has done for me and in our family. I don't want to hide my struggles. I don't want to hide the places that he's brought me from. And I also want them to not struggle with their identity. I want them to know exactly who they are because of who God says they are, not the culture that's trying to define them. And so I just invite y'all with me to raise your children up to know who they are because of God. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. Happy Mother's Day, and I love y'all all so much.
Amen. Praise God.
Boy, I've been preached to today.
I like that. Who's next? Who's next? Dwayne Logan. Where are you, brother? Come on up. Welcome, brother Dwayne. Anthony.
Thank you. I appreciate this opportunity as well. Good morning, family. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. To some of y'all who've been mothers to me, thank you. Thank you, I appreciate it. Happy Mother's Day to my wife. Thank you for all you do. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day, Miss Brenda. Thank you. Thank you so much. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I said I wasn't gonna do that. But my earliest recollection, my earliest thought of my mom is hearing her hold me and sing little nursery songs. I can feel it still to this day, her holding me in her arms and making me laugh and singing songs to me. I can see my mom sitting in my grandma's house. I mean, all of it, I mean, it had to be the warmest, best feeling in the whole wide world, sitting in that atmosphere with my grandmother, my mom, my family, my sister and me running around making noise. It was one of the feelings I carry with me my whole life. Mom, I've seen the sacrifices that you've made for me and my sister. Being a parent now, I don't know how you did it. I have no idea how you worked, how you got up early in the morning to make sure your kids got off to school. You worked all day, then came home, made sure we ate, took care of my grandmother, took care of my father. It was like, when did you have time for you? I see it now. As an adult, I see the sacrifices that you made for us, and I thank you. But not just then, I see you now. You did it for 18 years before I left for the service, but then I came home and you kept doing it. You did it while I was in Germany and about to deploy, and I tell anybody, my mom prayed me out of that deployment. Because I'm telling you, we ran up phone bills I think my pop's still paying for to this day. Hours on the phone from Germany. Back then, it wasn't no cell phones, y'all. It was phone booths and long phone bills, big phone bills. But I don't know how I would have made any step of my life without you. I just don't know how I could have done it. We've been through so much. I've let you down. I've made mistakes. And just like my father, you brought me back home. You opened up your arms when I went out and waddled in the mud and spent my inheritance. When I came home, I thank you so much. I thank you. Then I came home and you introduced me to my family. I was going to a whole different church and thank God for them. I mean, they helped me become up to a certain place. But then when I came here, I'm telling you, you really don't know who you are. Maybe you do. But I'm telling you, y'all mean the world to me. And when I use the word family, I don't mean that loosely. I really love each and every one of y'all. I love the way y'all love on my family. I love the way y'all love on me. I'll use one instance, but this ain't the only. When I was in Iraq, and one of my brothers is here, he'll be able to attest to this. And y'all heard me say it before. Y'all loved on us to a point that... packages. We only had a little bit of room, y'all. My cot was here. Somebody's cot was here. We couldn't get out of bed to our right or to the left. That's the way y'all blessed us. Packages were everywhere from y'all. I had to slide to the foot of my bed to get out of my bed. So thank y'all. Mom, thank you. I thank you, Pastor Terry, for this opportunity. Mom, I see you today. I see the sacrifices you make today, not just back then, today. I was listening to the song, and they said, he is with you. He is with you. He is with us. Thank you for what you do for us. You are a rock. You are a strong place. God knows, I used to say, I never know what I'd do without you, but I never have to be, because we're in the same family. We're going to the same place. Thank you, Mom, for teaching me that. I love you. Thanks for this opportunity.
Thank you. My sons.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got several, and I have several sons in this congregation that I father. Just awesome, awesome time, awesome word. Ready for number three? Yep.
Oh, she's power packed and ready to go. Y'all ready to listen? Absolutely, Miss Jana Jones. Come on up. You're going to be down here. I can handle it myself.
Y'all know how it is. You go to the grocery store and you got your arms loaded down and somebody tries to hold the door for you and you're like, I've been doing this my whole life. We're okay here. Well, I'm going to go on record and say I am not a member of the CIA. I do not have cameras in Rachel Suttle's home. And you're going to know why here in just a few minutes, because eerily, our words are going to be very similar today, and that's just kind of how God works. Much like Memphis, I didn't want to come up here either. I tried to give it to George. I said, can we pretend this is the WWE and just tag team? And George, you just come on up and talk. And Pastor Siri said there is no second. So I told my son Nolan that I was going to speak today, and said, you are. And he said, are you nervous? And I said, yes, I'm nervous. And he said, well, why didn't you just say no? And I said, well, that's not how obedience works. I mean, you don't get to do it when you want to. And then when it's something you want to do, then that's no longer obeying anymore. And I listened to a podcast this week, and Dr. Henry Cloud was talking and sharing about how he hated to speak in public. He too would be nervous. He had a bad experience as a student. And he was working out one day in a gym, and a giant naked linebacker came up to him and said, God has sent me to give you a word. And he was like, oh, okay. And I think he did put some clothes on, and he told him, I know this happened when you were 12, but the Lord is telling me to tell you that you have got to get up and speak and tell people what he has given you to say. And so when Pastor Terry called me and said, will you come speak, I just went ahead and said yes. And I'm glad I did, because who knows how else God would have gotten a hold of me. So I'm going to introduce myself to you. Most of you may know me. Some of you may not. I'm a believer. I love the Lord. Jesus has saved my soul. He has set me free. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is worthy to be praised. There is no one like him. There can never, ever be one that compares to him. I'm also a right side of the church member. And that may be why those of you over here are not as familiar with me. There is a great chasm right here down the middle, and we usually don't like to cross it. So, my name is Jana Jones. I am wife to Matthew Jones. He is the love of my life. He has encouraged me more than anything I can ever say. He is part of the provision that God has given me, and that's what I'm going to talk about today, is how God has provided for me. He's full of integrity. He's full of love for me. He champions me. He carries me. He provides for me. He protects me. I cannot tell you how much he is my most favorite person in this whole world. I'm a mother to two teenagers. My daughter is graduating from high school Friday. She is graduating from ICC with her associate's degree at the same time on Saturday, the very next morning. My son is 14, going on 15. He's going to be in high school. Watch that camera. Don't be doing me dirty, Nolan. And I'm proud of him, and I love him, and he's the cutest thing, and she's the most beautiful thing, and I just can't thank God enough for what he's done in my life and the blessings he's given me and my family. I'm the daughter of Harold and Jeannie Martin. I'm a sister, I'm a friend, I'm a teacher at Rutherfordton Elementary School, and I get to mother so many children every day through teaching and loving them. How I'm similar to Rachel is I have a bit of a bitterness. My mother has had alcoholism my entire life, and her and my father divorced when I was 19, and in 2018, she started to have some serious health problems. Long story short, she has Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome. I didn't sneeze. That's a real thing. And it is alcohol-induced early-onset dementia. She resides in a memory care unit, and she has been there for some time, since 2019. So I kind of toiled over what to say today. God, what am I supposed to say? I really do feel for Pastor Terry. I don't know how he does this job. I don't know how he knows what to say and doesn't go back and forth in his mind over and over again of, is this you, God? Is this me? how do you want me to deliver it, checking and changing notes, and then weird things happen when you have something that you're preparing for too. And I have experienced that as well. So he is the pastor. This is not my calling. But Mother's Day has historically been bittersweet for me. I would watch ladies get up and I would see them speak about their moms, and inwardly it would sting a little bit. And I think everybody can relate to that. I don't know what's on your bingo card in life. I don't know if it's the 4th of July. I don't know if it's a random date in August. Those are both on mine. But we all have them. We have these dates, these anniversaries, these things where other people can celebrate and life is normal for them, and for us, it's not. And so I know what that's like. A cut constantly will happen around that time, and it would remind me of what was not present in my life. For years, in the days leading up to Mother's Day, I would experience some moderate depression. I would have a good crying spell or two. The joy of having my own children, it would compete with the sorrow of wishing for an engaged and loving and present mother. But God's provision has mothered me all along. As a child, I had a grandmother, I had aunts, I had teachers, coaches, friends who poured into my life. As a teenager, God provided members of this church to talk to me, spend time with me, pray with me, hug me, kiss me, and invest in my spiritual and emotional well-being. As an adult, the Lord has continued to bless me through his people, women of faith who have prayed for me. They have counseled me. They have laid by my hospital bed, and they have championed me. They've empathized. They've given me support and courage. Sorry, I am nervous. My mother-in-law, she has championed me. She has championed my children. She has given them kindness and grace and given me grace in my attempts to mother them. I've hung out with friends before, and they've talked about mother-in-laws and rolled their eyes, and I'll say, I cannot relate. Mine is a jewel. I'm sorry for you, but mine is the best. And I've come as far as I have today because of the ministry that women have lived out, you guys using your gifts and your talents, sharing your mothering abilities with me. And you've given those in the mother's love and with kindness and with gentleness. And it's through the eyes of a continuously healed and still being healed woman that I can recognize the provision that the Lord has made for me all my life. When we're in the midst of pain and we're in the midst of hurt and trauma and stress and trials and circumstances, it's really, really hard to see the provision of God. It's hard to notice that he's near. And I'm going to be in 1 Kings 17, 7 through 12, Lynn, just in case. So I'm going to talk about Elijah, and I'm going to talk about the widow at Zarephath. And in verses 7 through 12, Elijah's made a drought come upon the land. Well, the Lord has through Elijah. And verse 7 says, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah. Verse 9, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So God has already created provision for a lady that hasn't even met the man that's coming to her home. So he went to Zarephath, Elijah, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he called, and please bring me a piece of bread. Ain't that like a man? Like, just always going to ask for an extra thing. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied. Sorry, I couldn't resist. I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. That is where she was in her mind. The best she could possibly come up with is, I'm going to take what I have left, we're going to cook it, and we're going to die. She had no concept of the provision for the Lord, and yet before Elijah even came to ask her those things, God said, I am sending you, let me flip back, it's not up there on the board. It's okay. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So God has already created this provision that she couldn't even see for herself. The mother, she knew the Lord, and she knew of him at least, and all she could see in that time was her lack. There was no hope of provision, but God Almighty, he had already planned her provision before Elijah ever came on the scene. So I want to share about what happened to me yesterday. I feel like this is the next thing and one of the final things that God wants me to say. It's strange. It's never happened to me before, and it was most assuredly the Lord. So if you're a visitor here, I mean, it fits in. We have the dancers, and y'all probably already think we're crazy, but I promise it's God. Like, it really is God every time. So yesterday, Matt and Nolan had went on a walk. They'd went hiking. Ava went off to work, and I was home by myself. And usually on Saturdays is my day to catch up on the chores, and I like to worship while I work. And I was doing some dishes, and the song Alpha and Omega came on, and I could just feel the Holy Spirit kind of welling up in me. And so I finished up putting some dishes, and then I thought, I'll pause right here. Normally, I'll just keep on a worshiping and keep on a working, but I'll pause right here, and I'll sit. And so I sat on the couch, and I listened some more to the song and just kept crying out to a holy and worthy God. And then I began to laugh, and I began to cry at the same time. And as I praised more, I kind of sank to the floor, went to my knees, and then I went from my knees to my hands down, and then I went full prostrate on the floor, just all the way laid out. My laughter, it faded away, and I was wailing. I was wailing uncontrollably with sobs. Never in my life have I cried like this before. My mind kept thinking. My mind was thinking while these things were happening with my body, and my mind was thinking, this is nuts. Like, if Matt and Nolan come in this house right now, they are going to call 911. They're going to call the hospital. They're going to get you out of here. And I could totally see why. My sobs, they were so lengthy and so loud that my neck and my stomach and my back were getting sore. I popped some blood vessels here in between the ridge of my lip. My dog was scared. He was crawling all over my back and like, ma'am, what is going on here? I've never heard these sounds. So I got up and I got some paper towels and wiped my snot and let the dog out since he was terrified. And I thought, I'm going to move to the couch because laying on hard surfaces is hard on my body. So I lay prostrate on the couch and songs kept playing and I kept weeping and without ceasing. And at some point, the weeping and the wailing, it changed into a loud, long moan. And I'm telling you these things, and I think about the book of Revelation where John is talking about whether I was in the body or out of the body, or I think that was Paul. And it's hard to understand that book because it's hard to explain supernatural things to our natural minds. So I'm trying the best in the words that I have, but I there's no way I can possibly make you understand what happened to me. I'm doing what I can. So I had a long, low moan start to come out of me. And how I had breath for that to go on, I don't know. I still was conscious and had thoughts while this happened to me. And I felt like I'd heard the Spirit of God say, there isn't room for both of us in there. And I was thinking, for what, Lord? Like grief, trauma, sorrow? I was going through all the things. And then I said to myself, God, I don't care. I don't care what it is you're getting out. Get it out of me. And I have no idea how I had the breath to keep going, but eventually the noise, the moaning, it just kind of stopped. It sputtered out, and it cut off like a water fountain, like just done. The spigot was done. And then the Lord told me repeatedly to breathe him in. And so after all that had pulled out of my body, whatever it was that he got rid of, I just started taking in deep breaths, and I just started breathing him in over and over again. And I sat there on the couch, and I was like, God, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say tomorrow? And does this happen to Pastor Terry every week when you give him a message? Like, do you just throw his world off? Like, is this the life they live? And he said to me, he said, tell the people there is a type of provision that only he can provide. It is unmatched and it is unparalleled. And that is what he did for me in my life. And I also think it was revival in me. Brother Andy had shared on a Wednesday night about revival, and my husband carried that word home to me, and we read about the Scottish events that happened and read about those two women. And every week I have a lot of time on a Saturday before I do my chores, and I get into the word, and it's really my time to enter in and pray. There's no rush about it. And I pray this every week, and I want to end. I want to close. Ava, she's supposed to hand out the gifts. I want to close with this. I want to pray over you guys how I've been praying over myself since Matt shared that word with me. Lord, I pray for revival in us, revival in me. Start it right here with repentance. Start it right here with your presence. Start it right here with your word. And Lord, spread it from me, from us into our homes. Let it touch every member of our family that resides under our roof. Let everybody who darkens our door be flooded with your presence and your spirit. Lord, spread it from our homes to our church. Let as we come together filled with your revival and your presence, let it spill out into this house. God, from this church, let it hit the county. Let it hit the highways and the byways. Let it hit all those who are bound and in bondage and be set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, flow it from Rutherford County all the way to the mountains of North Carolina and to the coast, God, and even to the Outer Banks. And God, let it flow beyond the boundaries of our state. Let it hit every portion of our nation. Divine unity, Holy Spirit, fire, sold out salvations all over our country. Lord, let it go from the borders of the United States of America to the world. Let it hit every country. Let it cross oceans. Let it go north, south, east, and west. And Father, finally, let it hit the ends of the earth, the places that we don't even know about, the peoples we've never even seen or heard of. God, let it touch us all. Let your revival reign. Let your spirit reign. And thank you for your provision and everything. In Jesus' name.
Good job. Good job. Good job. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And I got another treat. This is not even on the slate. So give me a couple of minutes. Kendall, come up quickly. He came up and he said, can I say something about my mom? I said, we got a lot going on, but we'll make room.
Hi, everybody. How are y'all doing today? I wanted to come up here and like talk about my mom. God has called me up here just to tell y'all how proud I am of my mom and what she done in my life. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Happy Mother's Day. And I just wanted to tell y'all, like, my mom is amazing. And I wanted to say she's helped me through a lot, especially these last couple of weeks. It's been a little rocky and a little rough, but even with us, it's been a little rough and rocky, but God is going to pull me through it. He's going to help me. He's going to flow the words out my mouth and talk to y'all. I'm shaking here, guys. I'm really nervous, but God has called me up here, so this is what I'm going to do. I just wanted to say I love you. I love all the moms in here, too, and I love my grandma. She's also a mom, of course, and I want to say I'm proud of y'all and what y'all have done with us. Meaning me and my siblings. And I wanted to say thank you for all of you done and for all of you said to me, everything, every action you've taken, everything that's taken out of your plate and put onto ours. And I wanted to tell you, like, I love you and I'm proud of you. And I thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He reminds me of a pack of firecrackers all lit at one time. Not one at a time. They're all lit at the same time. Amen. I know it's getting later, so we want to make sure that we honor all the mothers. And so all the mothers, if you don't mind, I want you to stand and come to the front, please. Please. That is, if you're a foster mom, a spiritual mom, or if you have had a child and lost a child, come on up. We want to honor everybody. Come on up. Oh, well. Can some of you get up on the stage so we can see everybody? Okay, y'all need to start getting up on the stage. So we need to see everybody. Get up. That should be down here. Amen. Oh. See, fathers gives instructions. The instructions are, get up on the stage. Come on. Come on. Get up on it. We want to see everybody. Don't turn. Make room. Make room right here. Thank you. Okay. All right. For those of us that are left, let's give them the biggest hand you have. Yes. All right. Amen. We have gifts for you. So please don't, where are the gift givers? There's one. Where's the other? There's the other. There you go. That, come on. Start giving out the gifts. We want to say we love you. We hope you enjoy this. And it's just a small token of our appreciation. You guys are just absolutely wonderful. While they're doing that, I have some verses that really prayed about it. I said, Lord, what are some verses that I can give them? And here's what I got. Listen as they hand out the gifts. God made all of us the delicate parts of our body and knitted me together in my mother's womb. So I want to let you know your womb is the knitting place of God. God created and made the children that you bore that he wanted you to bear. He is the giver of life. So your womb is a knitting room of God. Putting things together. Putting life together. Here's another one in Proverbs. That one's in Psalm 139. This one's Proverbs 1, 9. It says, what you learn from your mother will crown you with grace. What you learn from your mother will crown you with grace. And it will put a chain of honor around your neck. You mothers, you need to hear that. You have the ability given by God to be able to give grace to your children. And not only that, but to make a necklace, boy or girl, make a necklace of honor that they will bear around their neck. God has given y'all that ability. Graced by him, provided by him, and you guys are just absolutely wonderful. And even the one that's fussing right now, she is the one. No, it's the other one. It was this one. They came in, and I patted them and patted her on the head, and I said, it's good to see you today. And she said, you do my hair. What? You do my hair. You know, so anyway. All right, children are just great. Listen to this. This is my last verse. Everybody have a gift? Great. This is my last verse in Proverbs 31:25. It says, mom is clothed with strength and dignity. God's given you strength, and thank you, God, that you're the ones that bore children. Do I have an amen, men? All right. He said, he clothed you with strength and with dignity. And listen to this part. And she laughs without fear of the future. Oh, I love that. She laughs without fear of the future. That's given to you moms from God. And once again, we want to say we love you. We thank you. And I look at all of you and I see all the ministries that you guys are doing in this house. And I tell you, you guys are just absolutely awesome. Can't do it without you. We love you. Thank you so much. Men, stand up again. Give God praise. Miss Brenda, will you come? There's a microphone there. I'm surprising her. I'm probably going to pay for this, but is this okay? I want you to pray for him. I want you to pray for him.
Father, I just thank you for all the mothers in this house, all the women in this house. Lord, I speak blessings over them. I speak peace over them in their coming in and in their going out. Lord, you rejoiced over every one of them the day they were born. And they all have a purpose and a destiny, and they all will fulfill that destiny and that purpose. So be blessed in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. God bless y'all. Everybody's dismissed. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.